chapter number 1 tonight. I'm not going to keep you long. I know that many of you are tired, so if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast, all right? And you say, how does that work? I don't know, but I hear preachers say it, so we're going to try it tonight. Listen fast, I'll preach fast. Just hold fast, amen? And it's just good. It's good to be in church, isn't it? I'd rather be tired and be in church than be sitting at the house, wouldn't you? Because, I mean, you're going to be tired at the house anyway. The only difference is here you're not in your pajamas, thank God. Amen. And but it's good to be in the house of God. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, if you're able to stand with us. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10. Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whither I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Father, Lord, I do want to thank you tonight for the privilege to be back in your house. I want to thank you tonight for your people, God. Thank you for, Lord, how you've been good to us today and how you've blessed us. And I pray now that you'll give us liberty these next few moments. Lord, I pray that you would, I know people may be tired, but I pray you'll give them a listening ear. And God, that you'll help our hearts around the Word of God. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach from this passage of Scripture tonight here where Paul, as I mentioned last week, I'm not preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians, but I have been studying in it quite some here lately. And Paul, I mentioned last week how he delighted in this church here, the church at Corinth, a worldly church, a divided church, a church that was carnal, a church that had all types of sexual sins and other problems, but yet Paul, being the spiritual man that he was, he did not let their carnality affect his spirituality, and he encouraged the church to go on for the glory of God. He also proved to us that you never give up on your church, you never put down your church, and that you always have a good attitude about even a bad church when it's in a bad situation. But however, Paul has delighted in them. But now Paul is going to deal with this church. He is going to deal with one of the many problems that exist at the church at Corinth. And I want to say tonight, the problem that Paul is going to deal with here in our text tonight is a problem that is in a lot of churches. Now, I'm not saying it is in this church tonight. I don't know of it being here. And if it is, I want to pray that it gets out very quickly. Amen. But I do think, as a pastor, you don't wait till problems arise necessarily. Sometimes you have to deal with problems when they come up, but you don't wait till problems come to start dealing with things. Amen. I'd rather go ahead and preach on it tonight, at least me thinking that there's not any problem in this church. And if there is the least bit, I pray that this message would just flush it out tonight. Amen. But nevertheless, I need to be reminded of this, and I need to hear this, and you need to be reminded of it as well, as we all do. Amen. And I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this problem that's in this church, and it is the problem of division. Amen. Division in the house of God. And what Paul is going to do here is, Paul is going, by the grace of God, he is going to unite a divided church. Amen. God is going to use him to bring unity back into a divided church. And I want to preach on that subject tonight, on how to unite a divided church. Now, I think this ought to be preached in every church in America, especially every Baptist church in America. Amen. I think Brother James Langston, years ago, when he pastored Battlefield Baptist Church, he'd get up and mention that he was a pastor of Battlefield Baptist Church, and oftentimes he'd say, I think every church ought to be named Battlefield Baptist Church. Amen. There's a lot of churches tonight that just seemingly can't get along. But I want to say tonight, if we're going to deal with division in a church, and if we're going to unite a divided church, church, number one, it's going to take a man of God. Amen. And Paul here in verse number 10 said, now I beseech you, brethren. Paul was a man of God. Amen. And he was a man that was bold. He was a man that was balanced. And Paul was a man that was biblical. Amen. You see, Paul is bold enough to deal with the issues at hand. He's balanced enough to be able to have a heart to care for the people, even though he's going to call out their sin. He has a balance to want to help them and not to hurt them. And biblically speaking, Paul is going to give them the word of God. And my friend, if a church that is divided is going to be united, it's going to take a man of God. And then secondly, it's going to take a message from God. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, Paul's got a message in this passage of scripture that he wants to give to the church at Corinth. I would say about that message tonight that it is scriptural. Amen. For it is the word of God. We know Paul is doing the writing, but it is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that is working through Paul. Now think, if a man of God gets plugged in and he's preaching, he's got the right heart and the right spirit and the right book. Amen. I think, listen, you got to look beyond the man and you've got to hear the message. Amen. And the message is scriptural and the message is simple. Amen. I like simple preaching, don't you? You don't got to scratch your head and try to figure out what Paul's trying to say, who he's trying to deal with, and what he's trying to fix. Amen. And thank God for preachers that'll just be simple in their message. And then the message is swift. I mean, we don't get 10 verses in this chapter here and in this book, and Paul is already jumping on and dealing with the issues that are there. Paul's going to praise this church, but he's not going to spend six chapters doing that. Paul is going to let them know he loves them and that there's some good in this church still left. But thank God he's got a message, and that message is burning, and Paul's going to deliver that message. Amen. I thank God for preachers that'll get more than a sermon on their lips. They'll get a message on their heart, and they'll deliver the message that God has laid on their heart. And so it's going to take a man of God. It's going to take a message from God. And then it's going to take a move toward God. Amen. I'm telling you, if you take a church that's divided and you unite it, listen, the man of God can be full of the Holy Ghost and he can preach the right message. But at some point, those who are guilty are going to have to make a move toward God. And there's a lot of churches tonight that are locked down. The presence of God is not real. The work of God is hindered, amen, all because of division. And people must receive the message. They must respond to that message. And then when it's done, they got to remember it, amen. And don't forget what you hear tonight. You might be sitting here and say, well, I really don't need this. I'm not really divided with nobody at the church. And thank God for that. I can say that tonight. I hope you can say that tonight. And I'm telling you, friend, it could be tomorrow that our patience and our long-sufferingness is tested, and we need to remember what the Lord said. Amen. Amen. Some preaching is good to hear now, but it's needed later. And I think a lot of times, if we're not careful, we don't realize what we may be facing down the road, even as a church, but God knows, doesn't he? And I want to say tonight, how is God going to use Paul to bring a divided church together? Notice these things tonight and we'll be through. I want you to notice in verse number 10, I want you to see Paul's prayer. He said, now I beseech you, brethren. Paul is begging them. He has a prayer. In this prayer, you can see his agony. He said, now I beseech you. You see his address. He's not talking to the world, but he's talking to the brethren. Amen. He is calling the brethren out. And then you see his authority by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here comes his admonishment. The admonishment is that there be no divisions among you. In other words, when you go to the house of God, everything ought to be all right between God and everything ought to be all right between you, the brethren. Amen. I'm telling you, if you're right with God, you'll be right with the brethren. The brethren may not always do right, and the brethren may not always be right, but we can be right with them. Amen. We can have a right attitude one toward another. And Paul, he wants this church to be unified. And I want you to notice in verse 10 how he wants them to be unified. He wants them to be unified in their communication. Look what he said, that you all speak the same thing. In other words, if we're going to keep division out of the church, we got to all have the same language. Isn't that right? I'll tell you what causes division in a church is gossip. What causes division in a church is a long tongue. It's someone that backbites. Someone that is a whisper will cause a division in a church. We got to speak the same thing. Now, how do we do that? We speak the word of God. Amen. That's how we speak the same thing. Listen, we let our speech minister grace to the hearers. Amen. How do we all speak the same thing? I need to make sure that when I'm talking to you, that whatever I say builds you up, it doesn't tear you down. I need to make sure that if I talk about somebody in this church that I just say good things about them. You say, well, what if there's some bad things? Well, I don't have to tell those bad things. I can lead those bad things up to God because I hope you'll do that in my life. Amen. I mean, we all got our problems, but we got to speak. Amen. We got to be unified in our conversation. We got to make sure that we have a spiritual talk. Amen. That the things that we say, that it honors God, that it glorifies God, that it edifies the body of Christ. If it don't build up, then listen, by all means, I shouldn't say that. I'm saying we got to be unified in our communication. Amen. Now, some people gossip. I've watched this down through the years. They gossip. They back themselves in a corner. And a lot of people don't want nothing to do with them. And then they become the victim. You know how to fix that? Get right with God and shut your mouth. Is that right? You'll quit talking about everybody. You'll have some friends. Amen. They say, well, nobody wants to hang around me. Everybody's scared to be around you. Amen. Afraid what you're going to tell. Amen. And some people, they like to investigate. They like to ask questions. Amen. They like to find out things that is their busybodies. It's none of their business. Amen. You know, there's some things that a pastor, I don't want to know about people's personal life. My door is always open. I'll come and sit and listen to the, I'll listen to the wee hours of the morning to help you. Amen. But there's some things that ought to be kept personal in your life. Hey, some things that I don't want to know. And if you tell me, you'll regret it down the road. I promise you that. I'm saying we've got to respect one another, amen, and we're to speak the same thing. Listen, we're to be unified in our communication. We're to be unified in the congregation. Look what he said, that there be no division among you, amen. That means I've got to make sure that I'm not mad at nobody, that I'm not holding a grudge at nobody, that I shake everybody's hand. I've got to make sure I don't bypass nobody. I got to make sure I don't turn my head from somebody. I got to make sure that, listen, that I don't choose to like one and dislike the other. Amen. You say, well, me and so and so, we're like oil and water. Listen, you're not oil and you're not water if you're saved. Amen. You might be a big old ball of gas, but I'm telling you, friend, you ought to be able to get along if you're a Christian. Can I get an amen right there? I'm talking about we got to be unified in the congregation. Amen. You find a person that gets on your nerves and you be good to them. Now, if somebody's good to me tonight, I'm going to say, well, here we go. I'll try harder is all I can tell you. But don't high-hand people. Can I get an amen? God's people should never avoid people. They should never not speak to people. You're not right with God if you do that. Amen. I don't care if you can jump 10 pews and sing like a mockingbird. I ain't got a bit of confidence in somebody that can't be a Christian to everybody. Amen. I'm talking about tonight. Listen, be unified in the congregation. Unified in our connection. Look at this. That you be perfectly joined together. Stay in your lane. Stay where God puts you in the church. Don't try to be something that you're not. Don't try to be in some place that you're not. Serve where God puts you. Be content. I'm to serve, and you're to serve where God puts us in the church. Why? Because we're to be connected. You know, sometimes that causes division in a church when people get out of their place. Amen. Just stay where you're supposed to be at, and God will bless you, and God will bless the church. Can I get an amen right there? And be unified in your conscience. Amen. Notice the Bible said, in the same mind, not just saying the same thing, just to be going along with everybody, but we are to be unified in our way of thinking. Amen. What does that mean? I'm telling you, that means we're to believe this book. Amen. That means we're to be unified in winning souls. That means we're to be unified in carrying the gospel. Amen. We're to be find common ground where we're supposed to find common ground. We're to be unified in worshiping God. You didn't come to see me and I didn't come to see you, but we all came to see him. Isn't that right? We didn't come to put on a show. We didn't come to entertain. We didn't come to get promoted. We didn't come to get a badge. We didn't
come to get recognition, hey, you know what? We're to speak the same. We're the same thing, and we are to have the same mind. Amen. You know, some people, you can't reason with them. They've caused trouble in every church they've ever been in. And as smart as they are, they can't figure out that they're the common denominator. It's all them other churches and all them other pastors. You know, somebody needs to give them a reality check. Amen. When you change pastors about every 5 years, hey, you need to wake up, bub. Am I telling you the truth? All them pastors ain't bad. Well, I just go, I tell you, it's church. I can't find a good church. Well, I know, listen, it may be you're the problem's what the problem is. That's the only way I know to put it, amen. You need to get right with God, get in your place, amen. I'm talking about have the same mind. That doesn't mean, listen, that doesn't mean you agree with everything that goes on around here. I'm going to tell you something. I don't agree with everything that goes on around here. And I'm the pastor. But you know what? This church ain't about me tonight. It's about what God wants. And sometimes people they'll get their wires crossed over some of the silliest little old things. Now, I'm just preaching tonight. I don't think I've treed nothing, but if I have, I'm going to stay right there. So they'll get their wires crossed over some little old thing, and they'll stew over it for about 6 weeks until they can't hardly look at people. You know what you need to do tonight? You need to be unified in your mind. Let me just stop and say this, and I'm going to move on. The biggest battle we face as a church body, I'm going to tell you this tonight. It is in all of our minds. Evil surmisings. The devil is a sub-planner. All he's got to do is get me to thinking that you boys over there have said something about me, or you're thinking something about me, or any little old thing. And it's no more true than anything, but it's how Satan works. If he can't get me to do that, he'll go on to the next person. Don't take this the wrong way. I don't mean this about spiritual women. But spiritual women will tell you what I'm going to say. It's more prevalent in a church with women than it is with men. Now, I knew I'd hit a stump when I sat there. I hope my wife would give me an amen on it. But I'm going to tell you why that's true. Men will just, you know, argue, and hopefully they won't go to blows, amen. But after it's over, it's over, amen. Oh, women's not like that. And you women might as well go ahead and listen. You might as well swallow it and say amen. Amen. You know how it is. Women, some not. You say, well, I'm not that way. Well, maybe you're spiritual. Amen. And I'm talking to everybody else, and maybe probably you. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, you know, women, boy, I mean, you get their feathers ruffled up in the wrong way. I'm going to tell you the claws are going to come out, but they're going to come out one cut at a time. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. They know how to do it. You know, they can cut you wide open with your intestines hanging out in a very subtle way and smile the whole time they're doing that. And you ladies know exactly what I'm talking about. Them little put down. Some little comments, some little things that should never be said, ought not be amongst the people of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, listen, sometimes you can go to a church and preach, and there'll be a Jezebel in a bunch. Amen. I mean, she's run every pastor off. Her daddy's deacon of the church, and she thinks she owns the church. Amen. I tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take a man of God come in there and take that old black back book and not budge. Amen. Hey, listen, she may huff and she may puff, but he's going to make his mind up. She blowing this house down. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, she may have a noodleback husband that lets him lead her around, or she leads him around by the nose. Amen. But I'll tell you, friend, if a church goes on, it'll take a man of God and some people that'll lead that church and go on. And every spiritual woman I've ever met will say amen because she believes the same thing. Amen. Yeah. Spiritual women don't get mad because they know their place. And they don't want to lead. But I've seen them come, hadn't you? Had a lady one time, she visited here for a long time, wanted to join the church. She called a meeting with me. That's always a blessing. And I said, preacher, I'd like to meet you at 5 o'clock. I said, okay, in my head, I'm thinking, let's go ahead and pull the trigger and get it over with. I said, I'll be there. Where do you want to meet at? Right here at the church. I'll meet her in her office, I reckon. I met her, she come in, her little husband come in, you know, just kind of right behind her. He sat down, he never said a word, Brother Laddie. She asked me 3 questions. And by the time we got the 3rd question, she had a little notepad there. By the time we got the 3rd question, she folded that notepad up. She said, she looked at him, she said, well, I think we can leave. I believe I got my answer. I said, well, hallelujah.
God bless you. We love you. We hope you come back sometime. And I meant that. But I knew that wasn't going to work. Now listen, you can hide your halo and tuck your wings in. I'm just telling you tonight. When it comes to pastoring nowadays, some people need a shepherd and some people got to have a drill sergeant. You know what I'm talking about? It's up to you who you want. I'd rather be a shepherd. I don't want to be a drill sergeant by no means. Amen. I love God's people. Amen. But they just, some people, listen, they just got to run the show. You know what I'm talking about? Well, for the few of y'all still awake, let me go ahead and get the rest of this out here and we'll be done. We got to be unified in our convictions. Notice what he said. In the same judgment. Amen. I'm talking about, listen, we ought to all believe this book. Amen. There's only one interpretation. There may be different applications, but this Bible says what it means and means what it says. It's what says what it means and means what it says about the way of salvation, about separation. It means what it says about all those things. And brother, God hadn't changed his mind. Things may have changed in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. I'm going to tell you the atmosphere in heaven hadn't changed one bit. This book hadn't changed one bit. And thank God I still believe this Bible, don't you? I believe it today like I did yesterday, and it'll still get the job done. It still works, hallelujah. I'm just simply saying tonight, I thank God for preaching, amen. I didn't feel like preaching when I got started, but I sure feel like preaching right now. You know, sometimes as a man of God, you just got to blow some things out. You just got to plow some things up. It'll just get things a little bit looser around here. Amen. Been times, and I appreciate what God's done in this church down through the years. But there's been times when I knew something was stirring. And it's not tonight. Thank God it's not tonight. But I knew when stuff was stirring, didn't know what was. And there's been times when the girls would come up and they would say, sometimes as teenagers, and I'm going to tell you, growing up in preacher's home, it's different. They'd say, Dad, you say that and people think we told you that. I said, well, they just got to think what they think. Yeah, but they're not going to like us because they, I said, well, you know, it's just going to be what it is. It'll all pan out in the end. That's just how it goes sometimes. Sometimes you preach on things and you ain't got a clue. But God knows. He knows tonight. Brother, I'm telling you, that's why it's important we stay plugged in with him. Amen. And Paul, he knew what was going on. What about that? Paul knew what was going on, said, I'm going to deal with it anyway. Amen. I'm telling you, there have been some times as a preacher, things would get so bogged down. God say, look, it's time. You've showed enough grace. Take this book, and here's this chapter and verse, and just go ahead and deal with it. You know what it'll do? It'll loosen up the fallow ground in the church, and you can't do it unless God tells you. Amen. Or you'll tear things up. But if God gives you the green light, you better press the accelerator and just plow on for the glory of God. Amen. I'm telling you, preaching like that never hurt me and it won't hurt you. It'll keep your heart right. It'll keep your home right. It'll keep the house of God right. They say, well, you know, they just got a dictator down there for a pastor. No, we're just not going to let you come run the church. Can I get an amen right there? We're just going to keep things running in the right direction. We're just going to keep God in the forefront. We're going to keep it about winning souls and worshiping God. And getting help when we come to church. We're not going to put the spotlight on no personality. We're not going to build it around some man. We're going to have the same mind, the same judgment. We're going to carry on for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I see Paul's prayer. And I like this verse number 11. Look at his plainness. Paul, mark it down. The preacher will find out. Look what he said. For it hath been declared unto me of you brethren. Paul wasn't even in Corinth. But he found out. Think about that. There wasn't no social media, Brother Danny, for somebody to air it out. There wasn't no internet. They didn't have a telephone. They didn't have a telegram. Paul still found out, didn't he? The preacher will always find out. You say, well, how does he know? I'll tell you how God lets him know. Now I notice the news, for it hath been declared unto me of you. And then Paul mentions the names. Amen. How would you like for Paul to be your pastor? He just walks into the church, wrote him a letter here, but Paul said, well, I'm just going to let you know. It's been reported unto me. And Brother Chris Thomas has told me about it.
It's been reported to me, Brother Chris Thomas just reported and said that there's divisions among you. Well, you're going to be a popular member around here, aren't you? And Paul just plain, I mean, the news, the names, the nonsense. Look what he said in this verse, that there are contentions among you. Paul said, this is nonsense. There's contentions. There should never be contentions amongst God's people. You know why that is? Because we're to be forgiving people. Ephesians 4:29, and be you kind one to another. We're to always be kind, aren't we? Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I'm to show the same love, the same kindness, the same compassion, the same forgiveness to my brother and my sister that the Lord has showed to me. You say, what kind is that? That's undeserving and unconditional. See, forgiveness compassion is not always do they deserve it. Well, no, it wouldn't be forgiveness. But tonight we're to show that, aren't we? And Paul said it's reported there's contentions among you. You know, tonight, and it's not this way about this church. I thank God for that. But there are churches tonight, and you know this to be true. You can drive by them, and that's what they're known for, isn't it? That's what their testimony is. Bunch of people couldn't even get along. And I remember years ago, Paul Harvey told a story about a woman. She'd been married 3 times. Couldn't live with no man. Finally, she decided to marry herself. She had a whole ceremony and married herself. That's what Paul Harvey said. And then about 2 days later, he came on and said, now here's the rest of the story. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to announce to you, but that lady that married herself found out she couldn't live with herself. And so she divorced herself. I thought, I believe I pastored that lady one time. You know, some people can't get along with nobody. I don't want to be like that, do you? I tell you, if I have a problem with a brother tonight, and I've had problems down through the years, we all have. But I tell you, it's got to be our goal every time. Let's get it settled as quick as possible. Is that right? I mean, if me and Brother Lighty we've never had a falling out. But if we was to have a cross words tonight, I know his heart tonight, it'd be his intention, and by the grace of God mine, we'd have to get that settled before we leave parking lot, wouldn't we? We don't want to go home that way. We got to get it fixed. You say, why? How you going to pray? How you going to pray if you got contention? How you going to get a hold of God? And I tell you, we got 5 grandkids and 2 daughters and son-in-laws. And I need to pray for them, amen, and I need them to pray for me, amen. It ain't worth me being mad at somebody and hindering my own prayer life, amen. I'm telling you tonight, I need to show mercy. You know why? Because I need mercy, and they need mercy tonight. I'm talking about the nonsense, the plainness, and finally, I want you to notice Paul's perspective in verse number 12. He mentions 4 fractions in the church. Now, as I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Paul was the educated man in the group. Apollos was the eloquent man that was in the group. He was from the city of Alexandria. And then Cephas, of course, being Peter, he was the energizing man of that group. Peter stood tall, and Peter was quick, and Peter was bold in his thinking. And some said, well, I'm of Paul. And some said, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Apollos. And then some said, I'm of Christ. He is the eternal one in the group. But think about this, how sad it is that Paul obviously wasn't impressed by that crowd that even said that they were of Christ, because obviously they had some partisan cause in what they were saying. And so what you have here in this text is you have one crowd that supposedly is more standing with Paul, those that said, I am with Paul. And then you have a crowd that supposedly is more smarter than Paul. Well, I'm with Apollos. See, he's the eloquent one. And then there are those that supposedly are more stronger than Paul because they're going to be bold like Peter. And then those that are more spiritual than Paul, they're going to be, well, we're just with Christ. You know, I believe we we've met those in, down through the years. But you can tell how spiritual people are by their ability to control their tongue. Amen. If they know a lot of gossip, if they tell a lot of gossip, if they stir up a lot of strife, if they talk about a lot of people, you mark it down. They're not spiritual. They're not very smart. They're not very strong as a Christian tonight. Amen. There's a lot of issues going on in their life. Got to be careful tonight. What Paul does, when you get to verse number 13, down to verse 17, here's what he's going to do. He's going to point these people to Christ. And that's the right thing to do, isn't it? I notice his comment. He said, is Christ divided? He reminds them, this is about Jesus. Was Paul crucified for you? Thank God for a preacher that wasn't impressed by following. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul puts himself out there. His comment, his condemnation. He said in verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. Paul was not about his own name, was he? Thank God for people that's not about a name. I see his character in that verse. And then Paul reminds them of his calling. He said in verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Notice this, he's pointing them back to the cross, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You know, tonight we have to be careful. The only way a church stays unified is on purpose. That takes everybody working together. And sometimes that's tested. But when it's tested, it's the spiritual people that rise up and keep things in the right direction. You take people that are not saved in a congregation or people that are carnal. You know, Paul said, I couldn't speak to you spiritual, but as in the carnal, why? Because you're babes. You know what a baby does? They whine, don't they? A baby gets jealous. A baby wants attention. A baby makes everything about them. A baby will throw a tantrum. Isn't that right? A baby knows how to pitch a fit. And a lot of times in churches, you have people like that. They make statements like this. They did me wrong. They didn't treat me right. They didn't speak to me. They didn't shake my hand. They left me out. They didn't include me. They don't appreciate me. They won't miss me. They don't like me. They never asked me. They offended me. They don't need me. They hurt me. They ignore me. They look at me wrong. Not at all. They overlook me. They said something about me. They said something to me. They said nothing to me. They mistreat me. They misunderstood me. They hate me. They lied on me. They gossiped about me. You realize the common name that keeps coming up, their word is me. Paul didn't make it about him. Paul said, you need to get your eyes off each other. You need to get your eyes off these preachers. And you need to get your eyes on Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. The best thing that ever happened to our family was to stay involved in our local church. I mean that tonight. You want your children to live for God, you stay involved. Don't just go to church. You be involved in your church. When things are going on in the church, I know sometimes you can't make it to every little thing. I'm not fussing. I'm just telling you. You be careful about people. And you listen, if you don't get anything I say tonight, you mark this down. You put this in your hat and remember it. You be careful in a church when you get a friend in the church that wants to, you know, don't want to be involved in what's going on in the church. They want to talk you out of being involved in it. I'm going to tell you something. I'm staying involved in the church. And I'm going to tell you something, not church. I never talk about this, but for this point I would. Preachers are just as bad as church members. Sometimes people say, wonder why some of those preachers don't come back to Jubilee. I'm going to tell you why tonight. Some of them can't get along with each other. And we're going to have a meeting with or without them. Can I get an amen right there? And I'm not a politician tonight. I'm not going to preach somebody to get a preaching appointment. And I'm not going, if somebody says, well, you know, if you're having so-and-so, I can't come. I said, man, I sure hate that. I don't care if so-and-so is Bozo the Clown. He's coming.
Because that'll hinder the Holy Spirit in church. So he said, well, so-and-so joins. I'm leaving the church. Well, boy, I tell you, I hope you ain't got a whole lot of packing to do. We ain't running them off for you, I can tell you that much. I don't care if you've been here since day one. Can I get an amen right? I don't care if it's me. We ain't doing it. That ain't a Christian attitude, is it? But I made my mind up. We're going to stay involved in what... You young people, you stay involved. Don't you, and I don't know if y'all have, but don't get sideways with each other and say, well, I'm not going to this because so-and-so is. That's not, listen, you stay involved. You always stay involved in your church. And if you get a friend that says, well, let's don't go to that, you just say, hey, look, you can not go if you want to. I'm going. Can I get an amen right there? I'm trying to help you tonight. But it ain't just them. I see it in adults sometimes. Brother Laddy, I see adults. They'll mash together and somehow they build some real tight loyalty. And all of a sudden they say, well, you know, next thing you know, that person that was so perky and involved in everything, now they're not involved no more. Hey, what's happened to you? He said, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Go ahead and hurt their feelings. I'm not being mean tonight. Don't you let nobody pull you out of being involved in your church. Brother, when Jubilee comes around, when ladies' conference comes around, when missions meeting comes around, when revival comes around, you know, I mean, at all possible, you bring them kids and you come on. You say, why you harp on that sometimes, preacher? I'll tell you why. Because when they get older, you will never regret that. You'll never regret that. I do not regret that the girls never were cheerleaders. I don't regret that one bit. You know something else? They don't regret it neither. Amen. I don't regret that they never went to a dance in their life. I'm not boasting in that. They didn't go to dances because Christians don't dance. But you know what they did? They went to revivals. Amen. They went to church events. And even sometimes when they were little, and they, you know, how girls are, and they'd say something to their mama, she'd say, oh, you just forget that now. Don't you get sideways. You go be good to them. And I appreciate that, and they do too. I'm saying tonight, stay involved. Keep unity in the house of God. We got a good church. I thank God for this church. I appreciate it more today. I'm not telling you I've always appreciated it like I should, but I think you'll agree. Don't you appreciate the church more today? Amen, sir. I appreciate Bible Baptist. I don't know any other place I'd rather be than right here tonight. And man, we had a great day, great food. That banana pudding was great. Somebody say amen. That turkey and that dressing, that ham, all the fellowship. I come in there and looked at all those tables yesterday, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm not even into decor, thank God. But I said, man, them ladies did a great job on everything. And you always do a great job. And we're not perfect tonight. But I've walked in churches, and you have too. I didn't even have a handful of people. And I look around tonight, and I thank God we have a youth choir. I thank God that we have Sunday school teachers here tonight. I thank God on a Sunday night we're still having church. And we got a good crowd for a Sunday night. You know the devil would like to cause division, but I tell you, by the grace of God, I want to get along with everybody, don't you? Amen. Well, that's preventive maintenance tonight, but let's stand. Thank you for being patient tonight. Lord, bless this invitation. I don't know if anybody needs to come, but Lord, help us just to pray for each other. Help us to hold each other up in prayer every day, our families. Help us to always be unified around the Word of God. Help us pray for sinners. And Lord, I pray as we come closer to the close of this year, God, that you'd bless every family in this church. Help us to be faithful in our tithing, faithful in our going, our witness, faithful in our attendance. Lord, I pray you bless your people. I know that they got a, Lord, in this day and time trying to raise a family. God, I pray you'll bless them tonight. Have your way now in Jesus' name. If you need to come.